We are back again, and this is Expose, where we turn the light on Christ. I'm the Hanko lady, and with me, as always, is...
My name is Peter. Welcome again to Expose.
I'm aware that some new people are joining us for this episode. Would you like to say a big welcome to people who are watching us all over the world?
Yeah, for those who were with us last Saturday, welcome back again. And for those who are joining us today for the very first time, we also welcome you as well. Hopefully we have a great time today. God bless you.
Amen. Things got very interesting last week when we started with that controversial topic, the prodigal father. I'm sure some people are still trying to wrap their heads around the topic. Would you like to explain further for those who missed it and for those who were there?
Yeah, we began this journey last Saturday, and we began to look at this particular parable of Jesus. And I hope you know that Jesus, in most cases, would actually code spiritual mysteries and revelations in parable. We call them using natural stories to illustrate spiritual things. And for want of giving it a better title, we would like to title it The Prodigal Father. This parable is not just about the son. And in the church, we like to place so much emphasis on the younger son. But this parable is not just about the younger son. It's also about the elder brother, and it's also about the father. So that's why we've titled it The Prodigal Father.
If I remember perfectly well, last week, you talked about two audiences, and how these two audiences, everybody can be classified under this. Would you like to explain further and take this series a notch higher, and so we can dive into this scripture fully?
Yeah, thank you. Now, you see, to understand every story, we need to get the background or the backdrop of that story. Now, this particular parable of Jesus would not make any sense until we understand the kind of audience that were there when Jesus spoke this parable. And last week, we made a very significant point. What we did say was, when Jesus spoke this parable, he had an audience. And the audience, you could clearly see that in Luke chapter 15, from verse 1 to verse 2. We said this last Saturday, that there were two audiences that we had, two types of people. Verse 1 talks about the publicans and sinners. And the verse 2 talks about the Pharisees and the scribes. Those were the two types of people who were there when Jesus spoke this parable. And we established a point that in verse 11, when Jesus started this parable in verse 11, it was pretty obvious that he mentioned two types of sons. And by the time we continue today, you will see that the two types of sons in verse 11 was supposed to relate to the two types of people that were listening to Jesus, as shown in verse 1 and 2 of Luke chapter 15.
So let's get into it.
Okay, so we would get into this straight away. Now, we're going to start from verse 11, where the parable starts.
Okay.
I'll read Luke 15, verse 11. And he said, that's talking about Jesus, a certain man had two sons. And verse 12 says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided them his leaving. Now, if you think about this, what this son has done was according to the law of Moses. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 23, I think verse 11 thereabout, did talk about how a man should divide his inheritance among his sons. Mm. And the eldest son was supposed to take twice as the youngest or as the other children. In this case, because there were two sons, if the eldest son was supposed to take twice as much as the younger son, it was meant to be divided in the ratio 1 to 2. Everything was fine with the son's request, but there was a problem.
Oh.
Yeah, there was a problem with that request. The problem with the request is simply because a man was not supposed to divide his inheritance until he was dead. I mean, you don't have to share the inheritance of a man when he's still alive. That's people write wills and testament. Your will and your testament does not go into effect until you die. But this young man was asking his father for his portion when the father was still
alive.
Now, what does that mean? He's simply saying, I don't care if you die as a father. I don't even care. I'm not even interested in your being alive as a father. I don't care about relationship with you. I don't even mind if you're alive or dead. It makes no difference to me. I just want
my
portion of inheritance. Now, you see, because in our context at the moment, we're in the 21st century, you might not really understand the way the father will have heard what the son was saying to him. It's not about what is being said, it's about what is being heard. What the father will have heard is, you can go and die, I don't care. You can die as a father. I want you dead. So this is what the younger son was actually saying, to the father. And look at what happened next. And the Bible said, he divided unto them. Now, don't forget this. Look at what them. It means the father divided unto them, both the younger
and
the elder. He divided unto them his living. His living. And that, so that's what the father did. Now, if you look at the next verse, that's verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, I want you to listen to this. This parable of Jesus was actually meant to show how people live their lives. How many sons do we have in there?
Two.
Two. Now, this is one way by which people live their lives, in which you go on your own journey. You discover yourself. Self-discovery, if that's the word. And I'm not sure, if you listen to the news today, you watch the TV, you go on social networking sites, Facebook, Twitter, what do you see people saying? People say, you know what? It's my life. I just want to express myself. Or you see, when someone comes out and says, I think I don't want to just follow what people in my family want me to do. I just want to find out what works for me. Self-expression, self-discovery. This is one way people choose to live their lives.
Self-indulgence. Yeah.
Just if it works for you, if it fits you, just do it. Do it. If it feels good. This is one way of life. So what Jesus was actually showing with this parable was to show us one way you can live your life. Self-discovery. Just travel on your own journey. See, the Bible said he went on a journey. A journey of self-discovery. I want to discover myself.
Self-actualization.
I want self-actualization. I want to discover what works for me. That is what the younger son represents. So it's not about just the younger son. It's Jesus using this story to show us one way people can choose to live their lives. So, and that's it. So he says he went on a journey. And what did he say? And he wasted his what?
His
substance with what?
Riotous.
That's living out of control.
Recklessly.
Unregulated living. Living without boundaries. Living without any form of restraint.
Restriction.
No restriction. And I think you don't have to go too far to see this all around in our times. That's what we said. It's getting more popular every day.
It's unrestrained emotions.
Unrestrained. Just do it. If it feels good, do it.
It's so your body. There it's your life.
It's your body. It's your time.
It's your life.
It's your resources. It's your money. It's your opportunity. It's yours. Just do it. Now, there is nothing new under the sun. Jesus was trying to tell us, this is one way people choose to lead their lives. That's it. And that's what the younger son represents. And we can see that. I mean, now what happens next in verse 14? You can see that. Verse 14, what does it say in verse 14? And when he had spent all. See? He didn't spare anything. He maximized every single resources.
He expressed himself fully.
Full expression. And when he had spent
all.
I mean, you see, there are times I watch the news and I see people you see people talking about their bodies. They want to change how they look. People want to change their face, change their bodies, change everything. people keep touching every single detail and trying to see if they can derive satisfaction from this and from that. And they keep exploring every possibility. Gender possibility, sexual expression,
social responsibility,
expression. Everywhere in every, people just want to explore.
Experimenting with drugs,
experimenting with everything, trying to see, is that where satisfaction is? And that's, now, you see, one thing I wanted to notice is, I know we have this definition about sin. Because in Christians, we always think, well, a sinner is someone who's doing the bad thing and doing the wrong thing. Don't forget, that's correct, that's true. But the most important thing about this youngest brother is about the fact that he rejected the Father. And he thought he could find satisfaction and contentment in finding full expression and trying to go on his own journey. It's about, that's about it. Now, Bible says in verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine
in that land.
In that land, and it began to be
in want.
Now this is what it all comes back to. This is what it all comes back to, that there is nothing in this world, there is nothing in this dispensation that can completely, ultimately, and forever satisfy. It will always get to a point where it doesn't provide or satisfy anymore. And I think the earlier we know that, the better. There's nothing in this world. Once you dip yourself into it, it's a matter of time. It can no longer satisfy after some time. The Bible says it. He began to be in what? In want. You would have thought he had everything. You know, oh yeah, he's, everything was already available.
So it's at the end of every expression.
There is nothing. You see, you know, the preacher in Ecclesiastes, he said it. He said, I tried everything that I could lay my hands on. He said, whatever my eyes could see, he said, I tried out, I tested, I experimented, and I still found out that it was vanity upon vanity. There is nothing in this world. I mean, there's a curse to decay upon creation. Romans chapter 8. He says there's a curse of decay upon creation. And you see, there's nothing in this world, there is nothing we look to, no matter what it is, no matter how nice it is, we will always end up being in want. It's all a matter of, for some people, it could be that it could happen after some a day, for some it's 2 days, for some it could be a month, it could be a year, it could be a decade. It's only a matter of time. You will begin to be in want. Now, the question I want to ask is, think about this. Some things that were so very significant or critical to us, we thought, oh, if I have this, I will be the most happiest person on the face of the earth. If you think about your life, you think about, if I can get that, I'll be so happy.
Renee's destination happiness. Yeah.
But what happens? As soon as you get it, it's a matter of time. The happiness, what it's called, the law of diminishing return. The happiness begins to diminish over time as soon as you get it. So not getting it is actually where the happiness is. Once you get it, you aim for a big disappointment. And that's what Jesus was trying to show humanity from people who want to go on the journey of self-discovery. Jesus is trying to tell humanity, listen, it's a matter of time. Go on your journey of self-discovery. Reject the Father's love. It's a matter of time you start to be in want. Mm. And that's just what he's trying to show us with the younger brother's story.
Mm.
It began to be in want. It didn't happen immediately. It was a matter of time. It began to be in want. And that's what it says right there up to verse 14. So we're still on the younger brother.
Yes.
But don't forget one thing, like I did say, this is one way to live life.
Mm.
Not everybody lives this way. I'm not sure, you might be listening to what we're talking about.
So it does not fit.
And you're wondering, well, this is irrelevant to me. Well, like we said, Jesus mentioned two sons, two ways of living life. This might not be, I mean, you might have a degree of this in your life, a degree of this in you, or by the grace of God, you might not even have this kind of expression at all. But we're just trying to look at the parable of Jesus.
Exploring two sons.
No. Exploring two different sons from the same father. So, like we did say, we've read verse 14. Verse 15 says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his field to feed swine.
I was talking about the degree of his helplessness.
Yeah, I mean, the level of pollution that has come into his life. And you know what swines and what pigs represent in the law of Moses? It represents
unworthiness.
It represents dearth.
Yeah.
It represents pollution, contamination. So what Jesus was simply actually showing is trying to tell us the level of decadence, of pollution, of contamination that this young man has actually dipped himself into. When people go on a journey of self-discovery, they will begin to be in warmth. It's a matter of time. And before you know it, now the citizen of the country, it talks about, you know, basically, this talks about, the God of this world, Satan. I mean, someone who's got a connection with the system, bringing him down into the system. Now, one thing for sure, which I wanted to think about, is even though he was in a journey of self-discovery, it was a matter of time before he began to connect himself to the system. You see, I see so many young people that say, I want to find out myself. I want to discover what works for me. I don't want to be under the control of anyone. I don't want anyone to control me. Let me tell you this. There is no such thing as ultimate freedom. I'll say this again. It's an illusion. There is nothing like ultimate freedom. People think, you know what? I'm free. I want to be me. No, I don't want to be under the control of anyone. There is nothing like ultimate freedom. If you're free from one thing, you'll be bound to another. For example, if I say to you, I want to be free to eat what I want to eat. I want to be able to eat anything. I don't want to be controlled or restrained about my eating pattern. It means if I choose to eat what I feel like eating when I want to eat it, I get bound to what? A bad health. I mean, I get bound to diseases or illnesses or sicknesses or whatever they are. There is no ultimate freedom. When you get free from one thing, you get bound to something else. And that's why Jesus did say that if we are slaves to righteousness, then we are free from sin. But if we are slaves to sin, we are free from righteousness. So this man, this younger son, was on a journey of self-discovery. I want my own thing. I want to run my own life. But what happened? He had to end up joining himself to what? A citizen of what? That country. The very thing he was saying, I don't want no link to anyone. I just want to find my own life. But you see, that's the point. So when people talk about they want to be free ultimately, it's an illusion. On a journey of self-discovery, you put yourself under the control of another, even though you think it's a journey of self-discovery.
So on the last note, we want to see that the younger son wanted to move away from the control of the father.
But he got into the control of someone. There is nothing like a journey of my own thing, my own life, my own power, my own money, no control. It's an illusion. If you run away from being bound onto the Father's love, you will run into being bound onto something else.
To the system.
That's why he joined himself, see that? To the citizen of that country.
I hope our viewers this week will appreciate the choices that the younger son made.
Mm.
And so it will be a cautionary tale for us to know that this part of life, we've already seen that it's going to lead to want.
Yeah.
So on the final note, what would you like to say to round up today's session?
Well, what I would like to, say to our viewers is, again, don't forget the fact that we did say that Jesus' parable that we've been looking at was a way of showing humanity the two different ways people try to live their lives. And then, so I wanted to follow us on this journey. Even though you might not probably see yourself in the younger son.
Wait for it.
Just wait for it. That's the point. Jesus' parable divided all of humanity into two. And everyone either falls on this side or the other side. Or there's a degree of higher sons in every one of us. And this parable would help us to give us a backdrop of how to walk with the Father. and how to receive the Father's love and express it in our daily lives.
Thank you for joining us this week. Should you have any comment or any clarification or any question, feel free to leave it on the page. And so till we see you next week, we want to say thank you and stay connected to the Father.
God bless you.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.